Today we're going to continue by looking at ways in which God can spark in us a growth and maturity. And we're going to continue to press on to maturity as we read in Hebrews 6:1. And don't forget, or don't think that I forgot, we have to start off by saying our what? Our mission statement. Oh, that was such an enthusiastic response. It's like I asked you to take vitamins or something. So the mission statement, just as we remember, is to connect with people, to encourage spiritual growth in Christ by sharing God's word. Absolutely. And this last Wednesday, we were exploring ways in which we're going to do that strategically in 2018 at our First Wednesday. And if you have not been coming to First Wednesdays, let me just put a plug in to say First Wednesdays are really fun. First of all, a lot of people try new recipes and they bring them and they're really good. Okay, so if you don't know a church potluck, if you've never been a part of a church potluck, it's where everybody brings in really good food and shares with everybody else. So it's really awesome. It's fun. And then we just had a little time of praise and worship and prayer. And then every time we try to present some kind of new teaching or truth or share some unique things that we're not able to do on Sunday mornings. This last Wednesday night, we unpacked a little bit about ways in which that we're going to expand our ministries and reevaluate what we've been doing so that we can continue to really focus on those three things, to connect with people, to encourage spiritual growth, and we're going to do it by sharing God's word. And today, we're going to explore how God's love helps spark in us spiritual growth. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. If you've never read 1 John, let me just encourage you to do so, because throughout 1 John, John is just writing and talking about love. And one other, kind of public service announcement here before we get further into the sermon. All the men in the room, listen real quick. Drive your attention, men. Wednesday, that's just a few days away, it's February 14th. I'm just giving you heads up, you were warned. All right? Don't be running out at 5 o'clock this Wednesday trying to find a card. Everybody else has already got them. All right, just giving you heads up. Now, that out of the way. 1 John 4, verse 11. Where does all this love come from? Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Well, it's amazing to think that God of the universe, the God, the creator, who spoke and galaxies were spun into place, that he loves us. And it's hard to believe, it's hard to understand that, isn't it? This week, I was talking with Jalen. She was just up here blessing us by singing, and we were talking about how much just love and uniqueness it is when your child is born. Now, I had never met Jalen until the day she was born. Did you? I don't know how it was with your kids. I had never met her. Right? I didn't get to get to know her. I didn't ask her a bunch of questions. Like when you first meet a person, you're like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this person. You might go out to coffee or dinner or something like that. Hey, we didn't do any of that. She just showed up. And I remember the doctors carrying over this little wad of crying and mess, and it was like, this is yours. And it was an instantaneous love. Nothing in the world would have separated us at that moment. I knew that if any harm was coming to this area, in this vicinity, in her even presence, I would do everything to protect her from it. I would do everything to ensure that she would grow and be healthy. I knew that immediately in that moment, I die so that she may live. And that everything that I had done up to that point in those 20 or 29 years of my life was nothing. It had all been selfish and all about Jason. And I knew at that moment on December 29th, 2000, that Jason's life would change forever. 17 years later, I know that to be true. And in 2005, when Luke came along, that same feeling came into it. If you've ever had a child, you know how that is. Now magnify that to infinity. My love for my daughter and my son is imperfect because I am imperfect. My desire to protect and love and all of those things are imperfect because I am imperfect. But our perfect heavenly Father who birthed us, who gave us life, loves us. What's what we read right here? Dear friends, God so loved us. We also ought to love one another. There are times when I don't like Jalen. That I don't like Luke. That there's a break in the relationship because of behavior or actions or attitudes. But I, even in those moments, I love her and know that without a shadow of doubt, I would do whatever it takes to continue that same feeling of protection and love and growth and encouragement. How much more so our perfect heavenly Father who looks at us. And let's be honest, some of us are stinkers. Like we just kind of sometimes act rotten, don't we? And he looks down and he's like, God, I just don't like you right now. But I love you. Some of you are parents who have children who are adults now. I've heard you talk about that you love them through their teenage years. Otherwise, you may have been, you know, a murderer. You love them through. So I hear my mom have said that about my sister and brother. Never about me, but... My sister and brother, she loved them through things. God bless her. She my mom's a saint. She gets crowns. We sang earlier that glittering crowns that we have when we sing in heaven. I mean, she's got one just for me. I mean, God's better reward her. Because she had to love me through some stuff. We are commanded to love one another as God has loved us. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to a marriage event in Owensboro called Cherish. And throughout the day, the idea was talking about relationships between spouse and that there's a difference between loving and cherishing people. And I think about that is that when God says that he loves us, he's not just like he likes us, that he thinks we're good people or he kind of gets along with us. Like he cherishes us. He values us. When we read this verse and he says that we should love, dear friends, as God cherished us, as we are so valued by God, so we should also value others. Why does that spark spiritual growth in us? Because if it does, if we start to look at one another in the way that God looks at us, we will stop seeing all of their flaws and start seeing their potential, won't we? If we look at ourselves in that way and we quit looking at the negative and start looking at the positive, the things that God has given us, we'll start to grow. I am not a very good person with plants. I can kill a plastic plant. I mean, I'm just... not good with them. But I'm always amazed at like my mom can take, she's come over to our house, bless her heart, and sometimes she's seen some of our plants in our home and she'll just lovingly, you know, make some excuse like, oh, you know, I think I have a pot at home and maybe I could exchange it and da da da, and she'll take it with her. And then like bring it back like a month later and it's like alive. That's what God wants to do with us. Not just, like, I was, like, watering it. Like, I was doing the technical aspects of what you're supposed to do with a plant. But she, like, she values it and cherishes it. She loves it, and she somehow just, it comes alive. How many of our own lives are we living like that, that we're doing the technical things in our life? Check, I did talk to you today. Check, I didn't hit you. Check, check, check. It's a task, it's a task, it's a task. At the end of the day, you look at each other, and we look at each other in the church, and we're like, why are we not growing? Why are we not more connected? Because we're supposed to cherish and value and love one another. Oh, if we really value one another, what does that look like? Jesus says in John 13, 15, and Matthew 16, on three different occasions, he says this, my command to you is this, love one another as I have loved you. The message of Christ is really simple. You want to be my disciple? You want to be like me? Then you act like me. And how do you act? You love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love his disciples? He spent time with them. He taught them. He demonstrated them in action what it was like to care for people and be compassionate. He washed their feet. He was a servant to them. In fact, that's what he said to them. He said, the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve. Wouldn't it be amazing if in our friendships and in our relationships and in our even our Christian walk friendships and relationships, if we were all to just serve one another, like try to outdo serving one another? That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Because the motivator has to be love. We are committed to connecting with people. How do we connect with people? You have to do it out of value and love and cherishing them. Because if you don't, what you end up with is a secular culture in which you can allow abortions by the millions. You can involve the genocide of hundreds of thousands of peoples every day around the world, and the entire world looks the other way because they're not valued. And right now, it's okay because it's not what? Us. But one day, it very could be. That's why God's saying, here's the plan. I want Christ followers to be in the world and be demonstrating what needs to be done. We should be on the forefront of protecting people who are not valued by others because God values all of us. Love is sparked by God. It's fueled by Him. But once it is sparked, the next thing we need to learn is that love requires action. Love requires action. 1 John 3:18, just a chapter before. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We are to be motivated and sparked by love to do something with it. There's supposed to be motion, motive, and there's supposed to be motion that moves us forward. Have you ever had somebody say that they love you, but when you needed them to help you do something, they wouldn't do it? I'm always amazed at stories that talks about like husbands and wives, and when one of them gets sick, and I've watched it here in this congregation, as one spouse or the other comes down with an illness or a problem, and the other one takes care, like they pause their life, they take care of them. I watched it in numerous times inside of nursing homes when families come and they're caring for mom, who you know that when they were little, mom cared for them. That love that creates motion, that creates action. To not just be love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Now, I served in a capacity for 2 years as Adult Protective Service, investigating cases of abuse of elderly people. And I will tell you, I am shocked. Well, I'm not really shocked. I am just sickened, is the right word, by the people who will manipulate situations and their loved ones for really small amounts of money. Or because grandma had a house and we want to move in to grandma's house. Because none of us want to work, but grandma gets Social Security and they pay for her heat and electricity so we can all stay here. They have actions. Now, they would say, oh, we're doing this out of love. That's why the second part of this is to do it in truth, is what is really, truly in your heart. James 4:17 says, if anyone knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is counted as sin. If you know you're supposed to do something and you don't do it, it's counted as sin. But if we do the things that we are supposed to do, we better do them with the right motive. We have to do them in the right attitude. That's the third thing I want us to see today, is that love is the eternal motive. It's a spark. And we talked about last week that inside of us, God pours into us the Holy Spirit, His word, that should be like a fire in us that burns to keep that perpetual fervor we talked about last week, that to keep it just at the boiling point so that there's continual energy and motion and an availability to continue our growth and movement forward. But I'm going to tell you right now, when we create all this, why are we doing this? We ask the question, why? Love is the motive. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says this, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire or intention and every thought. God searches out to find out why we're doing things. You might fool people. You may fool each other. You may even fool yourself. But God cannot be fooled. He knows why we're doing what we do. And love should be the motive. So does God follow his own rules? Obviously, the answer is yes. And no verse more clearly states it than John 3:16. We all know this verse, right? For God so what? Loved. Love. The very, very nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ summed up in one verse. Because God loved. What is the motive behind his son, Jesus Christ, coming to the cross and making a way for us to have salvation? Love. Why does he protect us? Why does he do the things that he does for us? Love. Why did he take the Israelites and give them rules and regulations and said, follow these and you'll have a much more rich life. Why? Because he loved them. Why does he say to us in our lives, don't do this, you should do this? We set up boundaries. We set up directions. Why does he do that for us? Because he loves us. Love is the great motivator, and we should have love in our heart. It is searched by him to see what is the intention. What is the intention behind things? How can we test our intentions? How can we test our intentions? How do we know that what we're doing truly is of God and is of a godly motive? Hebrews 4:12 tells us, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Boy. I'm amazed at how God puts things together. Last week we talked about how that God wants to put his word in us, and that through the Holy Spirit that indwells us is igniting in us this passion, this desire to be close to him. It ignites in us his word. It brings in him. The Holy Spirit is the instigator. It is the inspiration for Scripture. We know that to be true, and he wants to install that inside of us. And then this week we read that we want to have love and we want to have a motive based on love. How can we do that? Hebrews 4:12. His word is the very tool that helps us to discern our own intentions. Isn't that neat how he gives us those things? They go together. He wants us to be people of love and motivated by love. And then he gives us the very tool to be able to discern what we're doing and how we can do it. That's why we say we're committed to connecting with people to encourage spiritual growth through what? Self-help books? Through personal exploration and belly button contemplation and meditation? No. We're encouraging people to grow spiritually by God's word. It is the source. It is the thing that should be our tool to divide what is true and what is false. What is real and what is not. What is everlasting and what is temporary. If we start to value each other the way God values us, and how much did God value us? He valued us enough to go to the cross. He valued us enough that even when we were still this writhing little infant covered in goop and gunk, and most other people would look at it and go, ooh, don't want to hold that. He picked us up and he held us close. He's like, this one's mine. I'd love this one. And when we get older and we fall down and we mess up and we get into the mud and muck of sin and life, he picks us up and he holds us and he says, I love you. I still value you. You're still mine. And he sets up these guidelines and these rules in our life, and he's like, here, I'm going to protect you so you don't fall down in that junk anymore, so you don't get hurt anymore. And then when we disobey them and we get out of line and we fall down in that stuff, he picks us back out and he's like, I love you and I value you and I will forever. And then he goes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this kind of love, the way I'm loving you, the way I demonstrate it, and I want you to love each other. And they're like, I don't know how to do that. He says, well, I'm putting my word in your heart. I'm putting it inside of you. And my word will be your guide as to how to love one another. A situation arises in your life. I don't know how to love this person. Seek my word out. My word will teach you, because my word will bring love to you and will demonstrate to you how to love. And I will show you the way. Gosh, is it easy? I wish I could say yes. I know very few things in life that have true value that are easy. I know very few things in life that God, the way that God has designed the universe, that he just kind of put things in a way that is so just obvious that you just fall and stumble into it. What is his words? What are the things that Jesus Christ talks about when he's here? Seek and you'll find me. Knock and I will answer. He's like, look for me. There's a process to all this. That's what this is. That's why we're talking about spiritual growth. There's a process to this. If you had the privilege of being a parent and watching a child grow, there's a lot of frustration, but there's also a lot of amazing, wonderful, just magical moments of seeing them. First words, first steps, first time falling in love, first time recognizing a heavenly father, watching them grow. I mean, if God wanted to, he could just beam us all down in clones as adults and just say, here you are. Kind of like what he did with Adam and Eve. But he doesn't. And he doesn't do that for us spiritually. God bless. I wish he would. I wish that I could push a button and say, I am spiritually mature. It's one of my questions when I get to heaven. Like, God, why? But I have a feeling it's because he said, because along the journey, there was a process and there was much, much effort put into that process, because in the process, you discovered and it became yours. And the love and the compassion and the spark was in you, but you had to realize it. I couldn't just tell it to you. I couldn't just give it to you. You wouldn't know what to do with it. How do we love one another? As God loved us. How did he love us? Despite our flaws. And despite our him knowing that we would disobey, knowing that we would just blatantly turn against him at times, he still loved us. He still chose us. He still wants to be in love with us. And he still wants to cherish us and value us. And he wants us to do it with each other. Three practical ways. I want you to think about these this week. Three practical ways that you can do that. Number one, thank him for loving you. Thank you. Thank God. And by that, I don't mean just like, oh, thank you, God. I mean, I want you this week, think about it. Maybe you have to write stuff down. Maybe it's in your prayer time. Maybe it's outside of prayer time. But think of ways in which he loves you. You can start, if you don't know where to start, start with the cross. We sang about it earlier. The cross. Take me to the cross. Like, that's the place we'll start. Well, you could just spend all week just thinking about the cross and what that meant, and that you don't have an eternity of punishment, but an eternity of worship with him, eternity of his presence. But while you're thinking about that, realize that your brain is functioning and your lungs are functioning and your body is functioning and you are alive. You can think about that and you can thank him for loving you enough to be alive. And then you may have somebody that you're sharing your life with that you could thank him for. And you could be inside of a house and you know that he loved you because you have this house and you're not hungry because you have food and he loved you enough that he made food and he made it taste really good. You see how this builds? It's not just, oh, thank you, God. Like, really, like, thank, love. Think about the way he loves us. Second thing, after you've thought about the way he loves you, think about who you could love this week. Now, for some of us, it may be looking in the mirror and starting there. Because some of us may feel like there's days where we feel like there's nobody that would love us. No reason for anyone to love us. I don't love me. But after you've spent that time thinking about how God loves you, you should be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? There must be something there because he loves me. And then look around. If you have family, that's a great place to start. If you have neighbors, if you work anywhere, if you go to the grocery store. But it always is amazing to me, just the simple thing of communicating with your server, or like when you're in a grocery store, you communicate with your cashier beyond the, you know, here's my coupon and here's my money and da-da, like just to ask them. Look, people are begging to be asked about questions. My kids are always like, how did you know to ask them those questions? I'm like, well, look at them. People send signals all the time. I don't know if you ever noticed this. A lot of cashiers will have their name tag, and a lot of places they have like little intricate things attached to it, like crew leader or 5 years. I mean, I just ask people, like, oh, like, wow. Like, you got an award there. They're like, oh, like, somebody looked at me. Like, the fact that you looked at them, not just like, oh, they were a... Right, they could have just been a robot, like, but no, they're a human being, and to see them come alive, that's loving, that's valuing this person as God would value them. I see you. We were not too long ago, we were at a place, and I was checking out, and the lady was talking with me, and I'm like, so like, what part of Ireland are you from? And she just looked at me. And I'm like, it was pretty obvious from your accent. And so we got talking about that. And she was just so excited to talk about her home country. And we walked out, and my kids were like, how did you know that? Why did you bring up that conversation? I'm like, well, that's who she is. And I could just tell. Now, I'm not saying that like the rest of her day was awesome, but She was kind of this, you know, like the slope shoulder, like, all right, another cut. But I noticed when we left, shoulders were back. She looked at the next person and she's like, hi, and like looked at the next person because I've put value, I valued her. She then valued herself and the next person, she started to share value back with them. That's how love works. So we start by looking at God. How did God love us? Secondly, who can we love? Look around. Thirdly, how can we love? How can we love? And it doesn't have to be huge things. And yes, this week, boy, guys, men in the room, listen. This is laid out for you. It's the Valentine week. You could say, look, I've listened to Pastor Jason. I've found out who to love. It's you, honey. And I found out how. Here's candy, flowers, cards, whatever it is that you know. And but do listen to this. What do they like, okay? I know Hallmark says they all like cards. Not every woman wants a card, right? 1-800-FLOWERS, say all women like flowers. My wife's one, if I get her flowers, she's like, eh. But if I get her Libs turtles, oh, she knows, right? That's her love language. And when she gets a box of Libs turtles, it's known in the house, this is mom's. Do not touch. She can lay them on the counter. I promise you, no one else will touch them. Because we all love mom. Well, there's a little fear in there too, but. So how do we love? The love should be authentic. It should be action. It should be emotion. It should be truth. And the truth is, what value? What do you value? How can I value you? If I bought Amy a PS4 game this week for Valentine, probably not feeling very valued. But if she bought me one, she's not in the room, so if anybody wants to give her that hint, just, you know, but we know our loved ones. We know people. We need to find ways that we can value them. We love because God loved us. We should be motivated by love. And that love needs to be authentic and real, and we can discern that by knowing God's word. How does God love us? Who can we love, and how can we love them? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for all that you do for us, that you show your love to us in so many ways. And Heavenly Father, it's difficult. It's a challenge to love others because we ourselves are imperfect. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would just give us grace and mercy this week as we try to identify who in our life we can love. And how can we love them? How can we value them in a way that is a clear message to them? And as we do that, God, may it all come back to you. May it be opportunities for us to share you. It's not about us. It's not about glorifying me. It's about bringing glory to you. You were the perfect example, God. Your son followed that example and then told us to do the same. Help us this week to fulfill that command. In your name we pray. Amen.